From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
We are called to turn the other cheek.
So we will seek to be vulnerable in our lives of faith and service.
We are called to go the extra mile.
So we will walk with those around us in the journeys of hope as well as fear.
We are called to love those who make that so hard.
So we will rely on the one who loves us.
Our special music, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life, is by the Good Vibrations Bell Choir, led by Phil Lewis. Our prayer for illumination is led by Beth Damp.
Still speaking God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Our morning message, Share the Hope, is by a guest minister, Reverend Angie Olson.
I'm going to be reading from the New Testament, and if you want to follow along, I'm on page 989, and I'm going to focus just on one verse from Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your good news. I thank you for all the people here at California United Church of Christ and ask your blessing on them going forward. Let us be a people of hope. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. I shared at the beginning that one of my roles is to coordinate the Festival of Sharing. Now, how many of you are familiar with the Festival of Sharing? That's a lot. How many of you have been to the main Festival of Sharing in Sedalia? Okay, some. So I want to give you just a little bit of background about Festival of Sharing so that you know what we're talking about. 43 years ago, some United Methodists decided that they needed to do more about poverty and hunger here in the United States and beyond. And they had this idea that if they shared and brought together the body of Christ and shared their resources, that they could make a difference. And they partnered with agencies like Heifer International, and they've been doing that for a long time. They used to actually have, they called them pastor cowboys, who would take donated livestock, and they would go like to places like Costa Rica or some place that had been devastated or needed to be enriched. They would go in an airplane that was gutted. Can you imagine being in an airplane full of pinned animals? I just can't even imagine. But they would go to share out of their hope. And they had great hope for the people. And it expanded. And the United Methodist Church started being asked by some other denominations, would you help us figure out how to do this? We would like to do this too. Thankfully, they didn't say, yes, we will teach you how. They said, why don't you come and join us? So in October of last year, we celebrated 35 years of it being ecumenical. So right now, we have 28 denominations that are part of the body of Christ, that are part of Festival of Sharing. And honestly, I don't even know all the churches, but the last count, there were like 800 churches who participate here in Missouri in some way through Festival of Sharing. One of the amazing things that happened last year, well, first, our theme for this year is Share the Hope. And I put some books back in the back because I'm going to share some stories with you, and I'm going to share with you about some of the need and why, as Christians, we're called to share. But there's a lot more that if you want to grab one of the books and one of the newsletters in the back, I would love to share them with you. Last year, one special thing that we do is we collect prison packs. We have been collecting prison packs for quite a few years now, and the thing that you have to know about prison packs is they're pretty simple, right? They have to be alcohol-free, and there's only 5 things in the pack, and thankfully Zach helped me to remember the 5th one. I couldn't remember at Salem this morning, but we'll see how I do. It's just shampoo, a nail file, lotion, toothpaste, and now I'm going to forget the other one. Anyway, so it's really a simple pack. It's just to help them have something, because the canteen and the mess is expensive at the prison. And if you aren't familiar, you make $7.50 a month for general labor at the... Did you remember? Deodorant. See? Isn't he awesome? Thank you, Zach. So what happens is if you're specialized work, you get more, because obviously you get your room and your food and things like that. But everything else is very simple. And even the soap is extraordinarily drying. They called it like they called some of the paper like John Wayne rough paper. Anyway, you'll have to read the book. It's got a better description of it. Anyway, they get really dry. So we put these together, what you have to know is that right at the time that we went for the Christmas Eve worship, we were invited to offer a Christmas Eve worship at Vandalia. You have to have one for each of the women. The number still blows my mind at how many women are there. 1,842 were there when we went. The year before that, we had collected 912. Okay, so that tells you the bigness of it. So we put this plea out because we said we've got this opportunity to share the light and share the hope in prison at Christmas this year and give them a Christmas gift. We, thanks to churches like yours, had 4,006 packs that we collected. What that meant was we also were able to take to the over 1,600 women in Chillicothe also and give the chaplains more to help them throughout the year. So I'm very thankful for that. And the reason why I share that is because our theme is share the hope. And if you hadn't noticed it, the world is kind of in need of hope lately. And if there's certainly a place that needs hope, it's a prison. When you go into the Vandalia Correctional Facility, everything is beige. I mean, everything. The walls, the boards that you write on even are this tan. Everything, and their uniforms from head to toe are tan. And so it's just drab, right? But what we experienced when we went there was that they had handed out these gifts, these prison packs, to the women in the afternoon. And when we got there, we received so many hugs, and I passed them on to you because they were so excited for the gift. And you know what a lot of them said? Thank you for a shampoo that smells wonderful. Have you just taken a moment to smell your shampoo and appreciate that lately? I have a lot since Christmas Eve. What happened while we were worshiping, though, is there were a couple of women in the front row that just were crying at the beginning of the worship service. And I'm thankful we had the time in the service to sit down and pray with some of them and find out what's going on. And these women had just arrived at the prison that day. They were just starting their sentence. And they said that they couldn't find the hope. But that being with us and with the other women who were there to worship, and they sang with beautiful voices like yours, praises to the Savior who was going to be born to them again, born in their hearts again as a Savior, they had hope. That night, those women stopped crying. Those women were able to meet the chaplain and get a Bible, and they asked us to come back. It's a simple thing, and it didn't solve all their issues, but it showed them that there was a Savior. We also had women who were very, very pregnant, and I had the blessing of being able to leave the prison that night and go home and love my children, share Christmas Eve with them. But those women, they were not going to be able to do that. But they sang with all their hearts, and they shared about the hope that they had. We shared about the dark places, but you know what? That was less when they shared than what they shared about their hope and the light and the way that they could show love to each other there in prison. It was very inspiring, and I share that with you because without churches coming together, combining our resources, we wouldn't have had those gifts to give the women. We got to share hope and love with them. And that's the way I think of the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to remember that it is the source of all of our hope. It compels us. It's a source of hope, and it compels us to share. Because left to our own devices, we might not share. So I want to read again the scripture, but I want to read it in a different translation. And if you have not read the Voice translation, I lift it up to you as one that's really nourishing my prayer and scripture life. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith. And hear this, I love this. So that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, the context of a scripture is always important. So Paul is writing to a church in Rome who is just a compilation of, and we're not even sure, scholars say that it's definitely, there were Jews there, but there were also Gentiles. And when you say Gentiles, that's anybody who wasn't of the tribe of Israel. And what happened was these Gentiles had been exposed to all these different religions, and a lot of them had worshipped different gods, and they had different practices. And he was trying to help them to understand what it meant to live a life together that was honoring and faithful to the good news of Jesus Christ. He was reminding them constantly that Jesus came to live among us, to show us how to forgive and to serve. It's amazing, isn't it? To forgive and to serve and to love our neighbors. And then, in what still astonishes me, this amazing selfless love, he went to the cross and died for all of us, that we may know a salvation here on earth and a promise of everlasting life, that he was resurrected to take away our fears of sin and death. This is the source of our hope. This is the good news that we've been asked to share. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Did you know that the power of the resurrection lives in you through the Holy Spirit? That's an amazing and awesome blessing and challenge. And just prior to this scripture that I read, it talked about what a life worthy of the gospel looks like. It talked about living, and this is hard stuff. This is a full life commitment kind of stuff. Living with non-judgment. Living to make sure that you aren't a stumbling block from anyone to come to Jesus Christ. To pursue peace, to build up and encourage your neighbor, to help those who are weak and who are struggling, those who are spiritually weak, but also those who are physically not nourished. We're called to help them. And then he talked about this beautiful sense of a radical hospitality, a welcome to all people. This is what we who come to worship in the name of Jesus Christ, who profess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that this is the kind of life that we're called to lead. It's a challenge, but it's a beautiful, hopeful challenge. So I'm wondering, in your minds, in your hearts, as you hear that you are to overflow with hope, let hope flow out of you, what does that look like to you? What does that look like in your lives to overflow with hope in a world who is broken and hurting and struggling? And this is one of the reasons why I am blessed to be coordinator of a ministry like Festival of Sharing, because I think it can be part of our outflow of hope to share with others. It brings together, like I said, 28 parts of the body of Christ, and I'm sad that we don't do enough together as the body of Christ. But Festival of Sharing brings 28 together because we don't get hung up on different doctrines. We stand firmly on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the call to serve and love our neighbors. It also works across generational boundaries. If you've not been to Festival of Sharing at the big festival or one of the share fests, we go to the state fairgrounds, and we work intergenerationally. There are 90, let's see, I think the oldest I met last time was 96, all the way down to little ones. And I have an 8 and 10-year-old that I get to watch as they package 20,000 pounds of beans to be shared with others, as they check kits before they go out to organizations to share with people in need. And so it's a beautiful, just an inbreaking of the Spirit that we see that all generations are important in God's body of Christ. It also brings together churches with organizations. I know that there are organizations in your area that you support, and I thank you for that, because those organizations, God is moving and working and letting them know a need in the community that needs to be transformed. And what happens is they need our help to do the really crucial work. We all, some of us can, but we all can't be there for hundreds of people every week on a personal level. But these agencies, they are. They're listening to people's stories. They're digging a little deeper. They're trying to find out, okay, why do you need this? How can we help elevate you out of poverty? And that's our call. Sometimes we need to give mercy and just hand something out in a moment of need, but we also need to lift people out of poverty, help these cycles of poverty end. And sometimes people just need a safety net to wrap around. And isn't that what the body of Christ can be for the world? I want to give you a couple highlights about the 2016 Festival of Sharing. We have expanded at the Sedalia location. We've expanded to have more and more youth participate. So you guys, it is an amazing overnight experience of we get to play and we have climbing wall and inflatables and just really great fun. And then we have a worship, a concert together. And then the next morning, you serve. So last year, there were 620, which, man, if you want to feel energy and enthusiasm and a hunger for helping other people, come to Youth Fest. It is incredible. So here's just a few things that they did. They packed 56,000 pounds of grain. Okay, that's extraordinary. So what we do is we have these 2,000-pound pouches of pinto beans, and they have to be put into 2-pound pouches to be handed out at different organizations. We do the same thing with rice, 56,000 pounds, and we have a lot of fun doing it. They checked 969 backpacks of love, which I'll talk about a little bit more in a minute, but it's for foster children. They packed 37,000, a little more than that, meals that were going to go to Haiti. It was extraordinary to us how, when we were putting together our efforts last year, that we picked Haiti as our international focus with Heifer International and with Church World Service. And anybody remember what happened last year? Right? They're already devastated from 5 or 6 years ago from the earthquake, and then Hurricane Matthew hit. Well, because we had been working all year, Church World Service could respond. Heifer International could respond with these resources that we had shared. We shared with 102 agencies throughout Missouri who serve 90,000 people a month, over $700,000 worth of aid, and just relationship building was done. If you love quilts, please come on October 21st to Sedalia to see the quilt auction. They are just extraordinary, and they raised almost $23,000 for Church World Service. I want to give you a couple examples of how these packs that you put together. So packs are for Missouri, kits are for international. It took me like several years to learn that, but that's what the difference is. So the packs for Missouri, did you know that there is a significant amount of college students who are homeless? I didn't know that until I participated in Festival of Sharing. We have agencies that we partner with, and we want to encourage people like this who are trying to seek an education to make a better future for themselves and for their families. But can you imagine how hard it is to do school when you haven't been able to sleep, when you haven't gotten a good meal, when you haven't gotten to take a good shower and you're conscious of what you smell like? We want to wrap our aid and our care around these folks, and we do through Festival of Sharing. The Backpacks of Love are one of the many packs that just really, but this one really gets my heart. The foster situation in Missouri is astounding. If you don't know some of the statistics, just I would encourage you to Google them and share them. But what we do through Festival of Sharing is we put together a backpack. And it seems simple. It's a backpack with a blanket and some underwear and a toothbrush and some really simple things and maybe a teddy bear, a stuffed animal. And what happens with these backpacks is some of these children finally get up the nerve to tell a teacher, let's say, at school that they're being abused and neglected at home. They may get to go home that day after school, or they may be taken right out of the school. If they go home, it could be one of those things where the police come to their door, and then they have to, within just a couple of minutes, grab a few things in a trash bag, generally, and go. And they leave. And then they meet a social worker or a CASA volunteer. And the CASA volunteers that we help out talk about how important this backpack really is. It gets a great first impression between this child and these children who are in a traumatic state, who probably have a hard time trusting adults, right? But this backpack they're able to give them, and do you know what the kids most of the time ask? They ask, is this for me? Is this mine? Do I get to keep it? And I've known children that this backpack goes with them from foster home to foster home to give them a little bit of a sense of hope. There's more that we need to do, but it does bring hope. We need to remember that there's elderly and these organizations that we partner with. There's teen mothers also that I'll just mention real quick. Lots of the programs that we work with, they're the teen mothers. If you go through a parenting or a budgeting or a resume class, then you'll get one of these packs as a gift to help you as you go forward. Well, let's talk about the elderly. There are so many who are on fixed incomes that are struggling. They're struggling to decide between medication or food. And what festival, since we're handing it out in October, we get to, lots of the agencies use them as Thanksgiving presents. Because there's some pride in the older generations not wanting to ask for food, but they can give it to them as a gift and make a difference in hope. If you wonder if there's need, the paper product packs that we put together, we had 16 times the requests of what we were able to donate. The family food boxes, we had 8 times the requests of what we received. So our future, we need your help. We want to continue to build Festival of Sharing, the youth part, and share and build more relationships. But we also want to do more of the regional, where you know that the resources that you're donating are staying in the local area. So please pray. That might be something that California UCC wants to be part of going forward. I want to share one more thought before I close this message. When my kids asked me what Jesus Christ wants our life to look like here on earth, I kind of get a picture a little bit of what our hope is for Festival of Sharing. Festival of Sharing is not perfect, and we need so much more and so many different ministries, but I think it looks like people who love Jesus working together of all races and ages and economic statuses, rural, suburban, urban, all denominations, sharing love, sharing resources, and hope to build God's kingdom here. When we left the prison, we got lots of thank yous that were written to us. But there was one that will stay in my heart forever. There was a woman who has been in prison for a very long time, and she's going to be in prison for longer. She made a horrible choice, and she knows that. And she's in isolation. So we didn't even get to meet her. But what she wrote was, "Even though I'm in isolation, I received a pack from you, and it gave me hope. When I found out who you represent, it gave me hope. When I found out that the plea was for 1,800 prison packs, and the churches around Missouri are praying and they responded with 4,006, it gave me hope." I want us all to think about that sometimes we don't even know the people that we're helping, but because Jesus is our source, the Holy Spirit is the power that is the source of all of our hope, that we can overflow. We can overflow with hope. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.